our fellow citizens and our freedom came under attack today, and no one should doubt America's resolve.
The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Time for us to come together as a nation to offer our support, our prayers for victims and for their families, for the rescue workers, for law enforcement officials, for every one of us that has been changed forever by this horrible tragedy. The determination of these terrorists will not deter the determination of the American people. We are survivors, and freedom is a survivor. A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated. We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done.
We will stand together to make sure that those who have brought forth this evil deed will pay the price. We will stand with the president, we will stand with this government, and we will stand as Americans together through this time.
Welcome back. It's Monday. 9/11, always going to remember the men, women, children, and first responders that lost their lives on that terrible day to the worst terrorist attack, I venture to say, in the world, at least at that time. I don't think there's been any worse than that, even up to current time. I mean, you took down two massive structures and killed thousands of people. So a remembrance to them, their family members, friends. There are plenty of people that are still around that it hurts them every year when this day comes because they lost somebody very important to them. All right, getting into it. Kim Jong-un, talking about the world being unsafe. Kim Jong-un has declared that North Korea is a nuclear power as of last Thursday, claiming the status is irreversible. North Korea announced in its nuclear status through a local state news agency on Friday, adding that the state's officially enshrined the right to use preemptive nuclear strikes for protection. And North Korea's Supreme People's Assembly passed the new legislation on Thursday, replacing a 2013 law on the troubled nation's nuclear status. North Korea also appears to be preparing for nuclear tests for the first time since 2017. The utmost significance of the legislation, nuclear weapons policy, is to draw an irretrievable line so that there can be no bargaining over our nuclear weapons, the country's leader Kim Jong-un said in a statement to his assembly. He further noted that the state will never surrender the nuclear weapons, even in the face of 100 years of global sanctions. North Korea is trying to get very chummy with China and Russia, and they are more or less choosing a side right now. Not that they were ever on anybody's side. That's a pretty reckless nation. But they're doing the best they can to probably insulate themselves and go with who they believe is going to be in power. That's scary on multiple levels, because if they're thinking that they're choosing the side of China and Russia over the United States and for more freedom-loving countries, that gives you a little insight into how these world leaders view the United States, that we're going to be the loser in this struggle for power, and China is more than likely going to end up victorious. So for me, that's a bad sign. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but Kim Jong-un doesn't seem like he's the most stable human being on the planet. He's not very far. He's got missile capability that can definitely reach most people in his region. He even has some that can reach some U.S. territory. So I would say that this is very concerning. And you don't have a strong leader here in the United States to do anything about it. I don't even see him and Kim Jong-un having a conversation, because I'm sure Kim thinks, like the rest of the world thinks, that Joe Biden is a bumbling idiot, so there's no point in talking to him, which is, I think, why he drew that line and said that there is no negotiation tactics, even facing 100 years of sanctions. 100 years of sanctions when you're on the side of the what he perceives to be the winner in this power struggle, it really doesn't mean anything. As long as China and Russia have his back, they got endless energy that they can get a hold of, and they can make trade deals with both of them to help sustain the country. So we're headed for some very dangerous times. It's the United States has a political party that's in power that's reckless right now. And whether it's by design or whether they realize it or not, the damage that is coming on their behalf is going to be, for the most part, if it's not irreversible, it's going to take a whole hell of a lot to turn things back. Yeah, so I know that the politicians in the United States are more concerned with lining their pockets than they are keeping peace around the world, making good trade deals, keeping everybody settled down so we could live on a more peaceful planet. And the logical end to the path that they put us on is more than likely going to be war. All right. Social media. Social media is doing what social media always does. There was a Snapchat, or the company Snap, reported that it made an error. It gave leading Democrat campaigns and party committees access to huge repositories of Republican voters, allowing them to tailor their midterm ads. My God, I can't speak today. To benefit them in the upcoming November elections, to try to sway some of your Republican voters and probably middle of the roaders, independents, sway them to the Democratic side. Big tech, it's never going to stop. Big tech has too much power. Between Twitter blocking anything about Hunter Biden prior to the 2020 election, Zuckerberg admitting to Joe Rogan that they tailored what they did as well, now Snapchat doing what it's doing, YouTube censoring people, these gigantic companies have too much power. They need to be taken down a notch. And that's in all seriousness. We got to create some laws against what they are and what they are not allowed to do. This is so one-sided that it's stacked against us. You know, the cards are always stacked against us. We're always playing from behind. They're always one step ahead with things of this nature. You know, I don't understand. We're trying to build our own platforms, and Republicans and conservatives and independents, they're weird people. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. You hate Twitter for what Twitter is. You hate YouTube for what YouTube is. And I understand you have to play in the lion's den a little bit, because a lot of people like myself, if you want to get out there and you want to get recognized and you'd like to do this for a living, you got to get in there and you got to participate. The problem is that a lot of them participate, but you don't support the ones that are trying to come up, your fellow conservatives or independents that are trying to make companies that are more neutral and they're trying to really take off, so you have an alternative to these companies. They don't support them the way they should. You have some names that do, obviously, but the vast majority of people who are no-named people, you're just average people on the sites, they don't offer the support that a lot of these places should be getting. Rumble's all about free speech. Rumble should be rivaling YouTube. I know it's doing well, but Rumble should be exploding. Most conservatives, if you snatch all your content off of YouTube and put it over there, you help them grow, because then you're exclusively at one place. So if people want you, they have to go on Rumble. And people are naturally curious. So once they get on the platform, they'll peruse around and check it out and may find that they like this platform as an alternative compared to YouTube, because they can find information that would otherwise be stricken on another platform there. Same thing with like Truth Social. If you have not been on Truth Social, Trump's a genius. He designed it to mimic Twitter. On all accounts, it is a slightly different version of Twitter, except it had some features that Twitter didn't have, like edit and redraft in case you spelled something wrong, or you're typing in and you got sausage fingers like myself and you just happen to mash the wrong buttons. You can go back and edit it. Twitter was not like that. You just have to delete the tweet and do it all over again, or you just leave it up and say, oh, the hell with it, because it is what it is. It's a simple grammatical error, whatever. We should be supporting these companies that are trying to come up. They're trying to get you to go over there, so there is a place for our voices to be heard, because you can see, as we're getting closer and closer to the November elections, now Snapchat, all of a sudden, this mysterious leak. Oh, my God. Big surprise. Facebook is blocking out political ads. They're not going to let you run ads there. You know Twitter is either shadow banning you, or they're going to start putting warning labels on crap and everything else, and they're going to be up to their old tricks. You have to participate in the places that get the information out. Should we continue to play on their platform? Sure. Absolutely, but create your main accounts, the ones where you want all your business and your revenue, the ones that you know they're not going to deplatform you because you happen to say things like COVID is just another virus. It's just like the flu. You're not going to get deplatformed on those places, but in the ones you're playing in right now, you certainly are. I'm a little bit frustrated. I don't like social media. I don't use it. I try to. I don't have big followings there because I don't use it. I'm sure if I did, I could have a lot larger followings there, but it's annoying as hell. I hate it. I hate just sending truths out and tweets out and Facebook messages. I just hate it. There's just something about it. I would rather sit here on a microphone and say what's on my mind then sit there and type things in of a thought that I just had and blast it out. And if you really want to get recognized and you really want to get popular, there's one of two ways to do it. One, you go viral for something, and then all of a sudden everybody kind of, you know, finds you, and it's pretty lucky, but that's like getting hit by lightning. Okay. The second one is I did a lot of research to see some of these no-name people that nobody knew before. They were just kind of they had their persona on there on one of these platforms. Man, I think it was Truth. I was looking at some people, and then I was on Twitter. You know how many tweets and how many truths they put out in a day? And these are people that have, let's say, followings between 25,000 and, say, 100,000 people, which to me is a good following. I think if you got 25 to 100,000 people, I think you should be proud of yourself, because that's a lot of people. Now, the interaction is not real great, even on any platform, for that matter. I go in there, and I always think to myself with that, like, you got 10 million followers, and you sent something out, and you got, like, 300 people that commented on it, 500 retweets, and, you know, 1,200 hearts. I'm like, you got 10 million people that follow you, and you got, you know, a grand total of a little over a couple thousand that even acknowledged your tweet. That seems very, very low. But for these people that have 25 to 100,000, for them to get to that status, my God, some of them send out 300 tweets or 300 truths in a day. Holy crap. That means you're going nonstop. It's like, I think I was doing the math with my wife, and I'm like, okay, well, you figure, you know, you got, what, 8 hours in a working day or something. I said, if you want to break it out, and you start looking, and it's like they're sending something out every couple of minutes. And that's how they gain their followers, and it's because obviously you're sending stuff out. You got more exposure. More and more people see you. But for me, number one, a person that doesn't like social media, I don't want to do it. I don't have that drive to do it. Number two, I don't know how they have that much time in a day. Now, maybe if I did this full time, I would have more time and I could send, I ain't saying 300, because believe me, for me, 30 would be good. That would be like super, super good. But I would say in an 8-hour, 10-hour day, if I'm working in this, that's all I do is this. I don't have a full-time job besides this. You know, yeah, maybe I could get to that 30 to 50 mark, and I'm really trying by putting things out, and it would help me grow. Sure. I'm more concerned with my audio growing. My audio grows through you guys by word of mouth. It also, you know, people just happen to see If you pop in and out of the charts, they see you on the charts. People test you out because, like, oh, if he's charting, he must be okay. I don't know how you chart or why you chart, but yeah, like I said, that's always been a mystery to me. But that's another way for people to find me. And I'd rather do the microphone thing personally. Even the videos. Videos are tough, man. Videos, it's a lot of time in editing videos. A lot of time spent for not a lot of return on a video. You know, I go and I would say my last video last week, I've slowed down a little on the videos because there's just hardly any interaction. And then on top of that, it's just the time. My last video last week was about, Ellie Mystical or Mistall or whatever. And it's like a 4-minute video. And to put that video together with all the editing after the fact, it took me a couple minutes to record it. No big deal. But to put it together after the fact with the downloading and changing the green screen and the background and blah, 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 whatever, it's like 3 hours. You know, as I keep going back and checking the computer as things are moving until I finalize it and put it up and upload it onto the web. So it's a pain in the butt. I can tell you that when I do this program, if my average show, say, is 32 minutes long, I may have a couple blips here and there where I get really hung up on a word or I'm going too fast for the train of thought I got in my mind and I jump ahead of myself and it just sounds like a massive train wreck. I may have to stop it and redo it. But between the time I start to finish, to upload, to filling in the information, the whole nine. Let's say it's a 30-minute video or a 30-minute episode. It's about 45 minutes altogether. That I have time for, which gives me time during the day to go and look up all my articles and read and look up some of the points in the article and then go find another source with the articles and whatnot and do all that part of it. And all that while I'm still managing a 50-hour-a-week job, 4 kids, and household here. So I certainly don't have time for 300 interactions on any of the social media platforms at all. If this was my only thing full-time, it'd be a lot better. But as of right now, it is what it is. But I still think we need to support our conservative alternative social media, because you see, just like Snapchat, oops, oh, I'm sorry, we happen to release. It's always one-sided. We happen to let all the Democrats know who the Republicans are. It's always that way. Just like you look at gun manufacturers or anybody, saw, it's always that it gets released to the Democrats. But it never goes the other way where it's like, oops, oh, I'm sorry, we released to the GOP all the names of the Democrats that are on this platform. You never hear that, and you will never hear that, because it's always one-sided. That's how it's going to be. Speaking of guns, credit cards, I talked to you about this, that they were calling for credit card firms to code out ammunition. That way they feel that police officers can track you better because they're following you and they are watching you. What you're purchasing with your credit card, they're going to give ammunition a particular code, guns a particular code. That way it comes up in their system, and I guess they believe that that can assist law enforcement. I do not. I don't share their opinion at all. But in an article by Just the News, credit card firms to code gun ammunition purchases, making it easier to track. The international organization responsible for creating merchant category codes for credit card purchases has given its approval to establish one for transactions made at gun stores. The International Organization of Standardized Registration and Maintenance Management Group met on Wednesday to discuss the request made by the bank to set up such a code. An IOS spokesperson told the Center Square that RMMG members could not decide whether to approve the application. That elevated to the discussion of the IOS leadership to oversee standards for retail financial services. Ultimately, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all your top players here are more or less agreeing with it. Okay, and they are saying that if the IOS is going to go that way, if that's the direction they want them to go in, they will comply. So if you are purchasing ammunition or if you are purchasing firearms with a credit card going forward, you are being marked, you are being tagged. So I don't see how this is legal. I do know that most everything you buy in a store has some type of a code linked to it. Up to this point, guns have not. They think by throwing a red flag, like let's say if I go into a dealership and I say, hey, you know, I want 1,000 rounds of 9mm to go to the target range, I guess I would get tagged for it if I'm using a credit card. Now, nowadays, most people are using credit cards. You know, not too many people walk around with cash. I tend to like to use cash. I use it a lot. I don't like using credit cards. I don't really like them in general. I just think that that's a ploy to suck you in, get you in debt, and then you never get out of it. So I'm not a big fan of credit cards. I like to use cash, but your bank card is, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's got a Visa logo or a MasterCard logo on it. And if the code pops up, I guess they are tracking you one way or the other. So I'm not a big fan of this. I don't like it. I believe it's a violation. I don't know if anybody's pursuing any legal actions to prevent this from happening. There are obviously Republican representatives that are aware of this and what's going on. We'll see what actions are taken, because there's always a lot of talk, but there's never too much as far as action goes with a lot of these people. But the left has attacked our gun rights. They will attack our gun rights. Believe me, they are going to attack your gun rights in any way that they can. They are just going to keep chipping away at that Second Amendment until it is gone, if they can get away with it, sometime in the not too distant future. I think we can stop them. We've been winning pretty much all the time with any challenge to the Second Amendment. I'd like to see some challenges to this. I don't think that it's right, especially if that information is being reported to the police departments. You're allowed a certain amount of privacy. And I know that people are going to disagree with me and go, well, these mass shooters buy tons of ammunition. I know a lot of people that are not mass shooters that have tens of thousands of rounds in their house. They stock up on it. They wait for prices to fluctuate. They buy more of it. That's just the game that they play. I know people that have in excess of 100 firearms at their house, and because they're collectors. And so what? They're law-abiding citizens, never committed a crime. They're allowed to have them. They have their concealed weapons permits. They're allowed to own these guns. And so what would be the problem with them buying a lot of rounds? I don't like what's happening here. I'm very concerned about it. The Second Amendment is the only thing at this moment that's kind of holding us together. I know the left likes to attack that, and they look at people like me when I say stuff like that and act like I'm a crybaby. Like, you know, you need these guns. Yeah, actually, I do. I do. I need all of them. I need an AR. I need them all. You know, I'd actually like to have a fully automatic, to be honest with you. I'd like to go get my license and own one of those too, because in these days and times, yeah, I feel like I need it. You know, you never know. There's a lot of crazy people running around. So I want to protect myself and my family. I mean, when you got the President of the United States threatening that you think your ARs are going to save you, you better get some F-15s. When I got my own President of the United States threatening the American people, yeah, I think it's important, more important now than ever, to have a gun. If you never own one, do the right, go out, learn how to use it, get you concealed, go through the courses, go get you a gun, because believe me, it's going to be liberating. It's going to be empowering. You know you can protect yourself now. When you walk around and it's on your hip, you can walk around with a certain amount of peace in your heart, knowing that if some crazy situation happens to arise, which you hope never does, but if it does, you have a way to protect yourself. So, all right, COVID. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get shut down for this one, because God forbid, you're not allowed to talk about these things. The Daily Skeptic. 400 doctors and professionals declare an international medical crisis due to COVID vaccine injuries and deaths. Over 400 doctors and scientists and professionals from more than 34 countries this morning, this was Friday when I saw this, declared an international medical crisis due to the disease and death associated with the COVID-19 vaccines. What they are calling for, because of everything that has happened, is to put a complete stop on all COVID vaccines. They do not want them administered anymore. They want everybody to stop because of the long-term effects they're having, and not to mention they are saying now there is at least 70,000 deaths associated with the COVID vaccine, which is around 1%. Oddly enough, your chances of dying from COVID are less than 1%. So at the current time, you could reasonably say that you have about as much chance of dying from getting the vaccine or dying from getting COVID itself, which is one of them, you are willfully injecting this into your body. The other one, it may get you, it may not. I don't know about you. I'd rather take my shot with maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, because the other one, I am taking, it's like playing Russian roulette. You roll your sleeve up, see what happens. You're going to have some long-term side effects. You're going to have some heart problems. You're going to die from it. I even seen one girl that it caused an issue with her skin on her face. It was like peeling. I forget what the name of that is. Psoriasis? Is that what it is? No, not psoriasis. Or maybe it is. Doesn't matter. Skin disease. I think Kim Kardashian had it at one point. I remember hearing something about it, and they were making fun of her because she had red spots on her arms or some crap. Whatever it is. Again, it doesn't matter. Anyways, her skin's peeling on her face. Her face is so red and irritated, and it happened ever since she got the COVID shot. She willfully did it. That's a side effect from it. So I don't know. Me personally, I've had COVID for sure a couple of times. I'm fairly sure three, but for sure, I know just from my symptoms, I had it at least twice. So I'd rather run the gambit with that. It's no more than a cold right now. And again, oh man, I'm going to get taken down for that one. But COVID is just another cold, which is why I said to you, was it last week, Fauci came out, said that you're going to have to take these shots for the rest of your natural life as a booster. It just became a flu shot. Oh, big surprise. Same thing we've all been saying forever. Now you're having 400 doctors and scientists from around the world call to stop the vaccines. Now, maybe not you, but people in general, in some countries had no choice, were used as guinea pigs for profit. You let them inject things into you, or were forced to have them injected into you as a guinea pig, and all of the drug companies and all of your political leaders profited from you getting that shot. That's what this is. They got control out of it. They got paid from it. And that's about all you need to know. Did people die from it? Sure, they did. Sure, absolutely. People die from the common flu, too. And that's been going on for 100 years. We don't hunker down. We don't shut down countries. We don't mask people up. We don't mask babies and young children up who are more than resilient and could handle it and walk and get right on by. I mean, only the seriously compromised have an issue beforehand. But with that even being said, as far as the masks go, they don't work unless you're wearing the right particular one. COVID has been the biggest scam in our lifetime. I don't know if you know who Steve Dace is. I think if you listen to me, good chance is you know who I'm talking about. Steve Dace, real smart guy. He's got his own show. He's associated with Glenn Beck. He's going deep. Yeah, he's calling for like Nuremberg-style trials. He's talking about executions, that people need to be executed for what's been done to us. Strong words. Can't say that I disagree with him. The trauma that you put people through, you've caused death, you've caused carnage. There should be some accountability for it. I don't think we'll ever get to that point. I'm maybe more of a realist. And if you study history at all and you look back, do they ever pay? That's my go-to. Everybody tells me all the time when I talk to them about these things, Joe, they're going to pay, Joe. Joe, it's going to happen, Joe. Joe, no. Somebody's got to pay. They're going to hold somebody accountable. They're going to do the trials. I keep telling them, no. When? Show me when. When has somebody been held accountable? When? They've been trying to get Trump on bull crap for 6 years. They can't get him on that. The other ones are protected. They're insulated by all their little cronies up top there. When? They're not getting prosecuted. Nobody's going to pay the piper for this one. Nobody. You'll get true answers when people die. And I mean the people that were in charge. Because then they could get blamed and they could be held accountable because they're dead. So it doesn't matter. Yes, we held him accountable. It was all his fault, sure. Well, he's dead. So what the hell does it matter at that point? What do you get out of that? I didn't get to sit here and watch the trial and see everything that this man had to say. I didn't get to sit here and watch him spend time in prison for the carnage that they caused around the globe. He's dead already. No, nobody will pay. Steve Dace, what he's calling for, I couldn't agree with him anymore. I really couldn't. But being a realist, I just know that in the end, nobody's going to pay. It's unfortunate. What is more important to me is that we find out the truth. If we can find the truth and give it the time that it needs to take and let things cool down and get enough distance between COVID now and the future, when all the studies and the investigations that people will do will find the true evidence that won't be suppressed by mainstream media, and we get down to the truth. That's more important to me, so we know if what we were saying the entire time, what I've been saying to you, what you have said to other people, everything that we have heard collectively from so many different figures, knowing that we're not crazy, it was actually the truth, and we were just here trying to sound the alarm, so at least we're justified in what we did. All right. Well, it's Monday, 9/11 again, sad day. I have a hard time with 9/11. I my heart bleeds for those people. It really does, because I am proud of this country and to be part of it. I'm proud that I was born into it. I love the being free. I will fight to stay free. I love the opportunities it presents myself, my children, and I want to make sure that stays in place. So I'm always a little emotional on that day. I feel in the morning. I get up. I pray. My church does a great 9/11. They have first responders speak, and we really get into it with the music. And I love that because we're praising the Lord and we are honoring them. So it's a good day in that way for me, but I'm emotional that day because a lot of innocent men, women, and children, the first responders, lost their lives needlessly on that day. So, all right, I hope you like what you're listening to. If you do, please, 5-star, write a little comment. That's all I'm asking. You've been listening. If you're a steady listener for the last over 2 years, just help me out a little bit here. Throw that on there because, I don't know why. I'm only asking because it seems like you do that, all of a sudden I fly into the charts sometimes. So it's weird. And then I'll pick up more listeners. So if you would, please rate and review me. If you'd like to contact me, littlejoecc.com. If you'd like to watch any videos that I do, like I said, I'm uploading fewer and fewer. It's just too taxing everything on me. I tried the best I could. If I can financially do better with the audio side of it, where I can actually do this full time, that's a different story. Then I have all day to do my job. But for now, if you'd like to see any videos that I post, YouTube, Little Joe's CC, Rumble, Little Joe's Conservative Corner. Beyond that, have a wonderful Monday. We'll do it again tomorrow.